lives in you. And especially as we read the words of Jesus this morning when he tells the Pharisees, and I quote, "Don't tell that fox," meaning Herod, "that I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow and on the third day reach my goal." End of quote. In other words, I think Jesus is saying, I will do what I need to do and I will do what I must do. For God lives in me, Jesus is saying. I am a citizen of heaven. Let him do what he must. So I want you to let your imaginations go. I know it's early. I know we have time change. I know darkness is what's around us, but now sunlight is coming up. But I want you to let your imaginations run just a little bit, and I want you to picture yourself, your personality. I want you to picture who you really are as a house. What kind of house would you be? Would you be a castle with a moat around it? Would you be a rustic cabin out in the country? Would you be a great German college in Fredericksburg? What would you be? What kind of house does your personality say it should be? Any kind of house will do. But it's got to be your own home. For some, like I said, it could be the huge castle in college or whatever it is. For others, it might be a retirement home. I don't know. Now, I want you to move in a lot closer in your home. You have your picture of your home. I want you to zoom in closer, as they say, and imagine the front door of the house. At the front door of the house, there's someone knocking. There's someone ringing the doorbell. There's someone talking all sorts of racket out there. And my question for you now is, if someone came to the door of your house, what would they find inside your house? Remember, you are the house. So what would they find inside of you if they came knocking and said, how are you? Who are you? What are you? Who lives in you? Who lives in you? That's a question I'd like to address on this second Sunday in Lent. Who lives in you? In other words, what is it that guides your decisions? What sets the course of your life? What determines the way you think? What determines how you treat other people around you? Excuse me. Most of us would like to say that it is our Christian faith that determines who we are. But is that the way it really is? For there are two kinds of people who can be home: citizens of the world and citizens of heaven. Who lives in you? Think back to over the decisions you've made over this last week. Think back to the conversations you've had. Think back when you got a little bit upset. Think back to where you were really happy. But think back to those times this week. Who made those decisions? A citizen of the world or a citizen of heaven? Recall the ways you spoke to those around you, the ways that you've treated others. Who was present when you talk to those people? Could they tell that you were of Jesus? Or could they tell that you're swamped in the land of this world with a lot of negativity, a lot of complaining, a lot of griping, or whatever it may be, or ruthlessness, I don't know. What could they tell? Who lives in you? What stirs each day that you live? We like to answer, of course, that that is our Christian faith that gets us going every morning. But can we realistically say that? For the Christian, faith is more than just a set of doctrines, more than some creed that we recite, more than assertions of which that we study. Our Christian faith is in the lives in which we live. Our Christian, it is a set of the moral principles that guide our decisions and are reflected in the words that we use. It is our response to the poor people around us. It is our record of worship, our interest in scripture reading, and our attention to prayer that tells us that our Christian faith is inside us. So how much attention do you give to your Christian faith? Or the reality of that Christian faith, I think it begins with our relationship with Jesus. The one that we're on the journey on through the Lenten season on Missy Nights Away, that the journey we're going with what Jesus went through so that we may have eternal life. What he experienced so that you and I can live again. So it's our relationship with Christ, the same kind of response that Jesus gave to those Pharisees in their text this morning. The season of Lent helps us to look within ourselves and ask the question, who lives inside of me? And I ask that you take that very seriously. For in the body of Christ, we should be loving one another. In the body of Christ, we should be doing what is right. In the body of Christ, we should be helping other people. We should be joyful in what we do. It calls us to be honest. Honest with ourselves and admit that even though we do claim to be citizens of heaven, we often live as strangers before our Lord. Sometimes we claim to be citizens of heaven, and yet we live as strangers, strangers to God, because we think that nobody will notice. We think that we are a God, but we act another way. But it is the season of Lent that reminds us one thing. God knows everything. Sort of scares me from time to time how much God does know. And help me what I think, what I say, what I do, how I treat others. We may be able to fool ourselves, we may be able to fool our friends, we may even be able to fool our spouses. But we can never fool God, for God reads the human heart. Not just words that we say, but God reads the human heart. God knows who lives in your house. There's the stories I'm sure you've heard because I just love it so much. There's two of them I'm going to tell this morning. One of them is about that burly old football lineman. He was from a professional football team. He thought he knew all the tricks that he could do to be able to stay out late instead of honoring the curfew. And he would party at all the road trips despite them wanting him to be bad a lot earlier than he wanted to be. So over the years, he had got it all down to a science. He'd pile up certain things under a blanket to make it look like it was just him, and no one would know the difference. And it would appear that he's asleep, and when the coach would come in to check on curfew, they'd see him sleeping right there. Well, it worked fairly well until one evening when he quite a bit of a hurry. He was a little bit late to go out with the guys and celebrate the party. He couldn't find the right items to put underneath the cover. So in a bit of haste, he decided to grab the nearby lamp and throw it underneath the pillows. Just as it was, just throw it underneath the pillows, and that would suffice as being him sound asleep. Imagine what happened when the suspicious coach came in at 1 a.m. and turned on the light. The cross of our Lord, the cross of Jesus, is like that. It lays bare the thoughts of the human heart and reveals the inner person. Who lives in you? If you want to know the answer to that question, review your thoughts and actions in the light of the cross. How does your life reflect Jesus' love? How do your actions show God's compassion being visible in this world? Who lives in you? Jesus tells us that two kinds of people cannot live in peace with each other. He even goes on to say in Scripture that no one can serve two masters. He says either we live as people whose lives are oriented to the world, or we find peace and joy in Christ. Both kinds of people cannot live under the same roof. No matter how far we try, you cannot have those two people under the same roof. This is another very delightful story. It's about what Dwight Moody told the story. Two men who had a little bit too much to drink. Well, they were drunk. And they found their way to the dock where they'd come in to go to the party. And they were relieved to find that the boat was still in the same place where they left it. That's the first good thing that happened. So they decided to make it home. They got into the boat, and they started rowing. Both of them. And they rowed. And they rowed. And they rowed. They rowed very hard. And what was way into the middle of the night and into their early morning. And when the sun came up, they were distraught. They were depressed. Why? The boat was at the same place as when they got in. Our two brilliant men forgot to untie it from the dock and release the anchor. As Christians, we cannot
rock of the world, or lift the anchor of the burdens we have. We have to let those things go so that we can be the Christian that God wants us to be. We can be that person filled with love, filled with caring, filled with compassion. Ability to overlook what other people do to us and not go with a vengeance at those people. We cannot live our hopes and our dreams and our aspirations and our goals in life if we're tied to material possessions. No one can serve two masters. It is impossible to hold dual citizenship. Maybe some of those that do hold on to two masters are one way when they come into church and another when they leave the parking lot. I hope not. Because to be a child of God is to allow God to be our Father. We're going to say a prayer a little bit. Come to start. Our Father. When you pray, many times I use the word Heavenly Father. We call Him Father. And to live as citizens of heaven, we're allowing Christ into our hearts, we're allowing God into our hearts. For we have the love of Jesus in our hearts. When that happens, we know a life of discipleship, we know a life of devotion, a life of faith and faithfulness, of conscience and commitment. We know that all those things will follow in our lives as we get closer to the Lord in our hearts. And as the Lord takes over our hearts, those things come out naturally. But the key is following our Lord. And following in this time of year on the way to the cross that we're studying each Wednesday night as we go through those services. We have to allow the love of God to grow our hearts, our thoughts, and direct the way we act. That's the kind of love God has for you and for me. A love that Jesus expresses in the face of a threatened death. A love that goes about its business in spite of the consequences. Love that adopts us as His children. Love that makes us citizens of heaven and have eternal life. Love that puts us in our places and gives us our inheritance. Who lives in you? A lot of things to think about this morning. All of those things you should think about and should help you on our journey to the cross on Wednesday nights. And I hope that as we go through this journey each day, you'll be able to say, Christ lives in me.